You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to cofcalbany.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
Hey, look, for the last 2 weeks, we've enjoyed the Winter Olympics. In our house, when the Winter Olympics comes on, it is time for us to dig out one of our favourite films, starring one of my favourite actors, John Candy. What is it about that great big brute that is so lovable? But anyway, Cool Runnings has become a classic film. And in that film, there is this song that says, "Rise above it. Come on and rise above it." And today we want to look at something that we as the church, not just our church, but the church, needs to rise above. And it is the same thing that the Jamaican bobsled team had to overcome both within themselves but also from those around them back at the Calgary Winter Games. Division, prejudice, partiality. In the New Testament book of James, the issue of partiality within the church was one. It was over one's economic status. Were you wealthy? Were you poor? Which part of town are you from? Which side of the tracks do you live? The rich were treated with respect. The poor were looked down upon. If you were rich, the best seats were reserved for you. If you were poor, then you sat on the floor near the back door somewhere. And today we see partiality on the rise within our own society. People experience and feel this segregation based on their vaccination status. And you know what? None of us like it. Not one of us here actually likes it. In fact, it is an issue that sits uncomfortably in the recesses of each of our hearts. But sadly, the segregation and the prejudice and the partiality which we are seeing in our community these days is on the rise. Today isn't a message about following mandates or standing up for your rights or the good or evil of vaccines, but about how we can rise above the partiality both on an individual level but also as the church, keeping partiality out of our lives. And for me, the saddest thing is that this partiality is seeping into the church. And it's spreading, and not necessarily our church so much, but I'll tell you, we're not immune to it, but the broader church, all surrounding vaccinations, masks, a virus, or our government. And that is the deepest cut of them all. I find that to be the most hurtful thing in the church. It's most hurtful in the church because if there's one place where partiality should not exist, it has to be Christ's church. The vindictiveness and the judging that's aimed by some at each other is horrendous. It's horrendous and arrogant and presumptuous. It's downright offensive. And it fails to reflect Christ-likeness in any way whatsoever. It has kicked brotherly love and compassion out the door. We have to be careful not to get swept up in emotional activism. As followers of Christ who have faith in Him first and foremost, we must look above the things that are right before our eyes. I'm not talking about burying our heads in the sand or anything like that and pretending that things don't exist, but to look beyond them. If we don't, then how easily, how quickly partiality can rear its ugly head. Rise above it. Come on and rise above it. Now, I know there are more facets to this, but I've been observing and feeling two sides of the fence lately. There are those who seem to revel in creating partiality. And I shake my head and I sort of think, oh, I don't know why they seem to love it so much. They've got to be twisted or something. And then there are those who are writhing in the pain of it. They're at the receiving end of it and it's painful for them. And you know what? I hear you loud and clear. Partiality has become the world's greatest pandemic. It is more prevalent than COVID, and it's more potent. And I say that because partiality doesn't infect us because of what's happening around about us, but rather it grabs hold of us because of how we react and respond in our hearts to what is going on around us. It is a heart condition. Oh man, we'd love to blame the environment for the way we're feeling, but we can't. COVID hasn't created partiality in the church. Mandates haven't created partiality in the church. Oh man, the church has gone through a lot worse over the last 2,000 years, let me tell you. And it's handled a lot better. It's the responses to these things that create partiality in the church. It's our responses to them. We may walk different journeys in it all, but friends, do we still walk together despite our differing journeys? Or do we turn on each other? Just as much as whether you take the vax or not, that's your call. But through thick and thin, Christ's call is to come together in loving unity and compassion. Partiality and God don't mix very well. That's why it shouldn't sit well with us. I'm just going to go along and give you a few samplings from Scripture. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 says this, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial." Job 34, verses 17 and 18 says this, "Will you condemn God who is righteous and mighty, who shows no partiality to princes, nor regards the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands?" In Acts 10, verse 34, Peter goes on and he says, "God shows no partiality." In Romans 2, 11, Paul says, "For there is no partiality with God." In Ephesians 6, 9, it says, "Masters, stop threatening your servants, knowing that God, who is both their master and yours, is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him." Galatians 2, 6 says, "God shows no partiality." And then Peter goes on and says in 1 Peter 1, 17, "If you call on God as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your life on earth." That is just a sampling. God hates partiality and prejudice. It goes against his very nature. And he hates it even more when it takes place in his church. What breaks my heart more than COVID restrictions and more than COVID itself is partiality in the church due to people's view of these things. And here's something for you. I truly believe the same goes for God. He doesn't care about COVID restrictions. He doesn't care about your lost freedoms half as much as he cares about the sin of partiality creeping into the church, festering and thriving. His church. The church is pictured in Scripture as being his bride, and yet, borrowing Paul's words to the Galatians, we will devour each other over whether you've got the jab or not. And I've got no time for it. I'm sick to death of it. I've had a gutful of all of that carry-on, be it out there or be it within the church. I've had enough. In Galatians 2, we get to see why partiality is so wrong and it spreads so easily. And it's great for us to see this because then we can see what it is that we are really dealing with in our society and in the church. Now, I'd like to suggest that we are not dealing with COVID. And we're not dealing with Mr. McGowan, but rather we are dealing with fear, fallacy, force, and a lack of faith on both sides of the fence, let me add. Turning your Bibles to Galatians 2. In Galatians 2, verse 11, we see this fiery confrontation take place between Paul and Peter. He's also known as Cephas in this passage. And these are two giants of the church here, and they're going toe-to-toe. And so this is what we read. "But when Cephas," or Peter, "came to Antioch, I, Paul, opposed him to his face." Now, if you're wondering what's going on here and when this took place, let me just lay the picture for you. It sort of takes place around Acts 15, after what was called the Jerusalem Council. Okay, you see, in Acts 13 through to 14, Paul and his associate, Barnabas, they've gone through the region of Galatia with the gospel of Christ. Okay. This is the first time in the gospel that the gospel has deliberately gone out to the Gentile nations, the non-Jewish peoples. That's good news, right? But not according to some. See, there were these Jewish believers, we'll call them Judaizers, okay? That's what they were called. They were called Judaizers. There were these Jewish believers who didn't like the fact that all these Gentiles could be made right with God purely through placing their faith in Jesus Christ as a Savior without any observance whatsoever of their 2,000-year-old Jewish religious law. And so they would sort of travel behind Paul and Barnabas, and they would tell these brand new believers that trusting in Jesus Christ is not enough, that you also had to observe Jewish religious laws and customs. That's why the letter of Galatians was actually written, to correct these false teachings from the Judaizers, which caused all kinds of confusion in the Galatian churches. Paul had to correct all the bad work of these Judaizers. Seeing what was happening, Paul and Barnabas, they go on to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 to the Jerusalem church. Now, the church in Jerusalem, that was the center of Christianity at the time, all right? The church at Jerusalem could speak with authority into the area of Jewish traditions and customs and laws. And the church in Jerusalem could directly speak against these Judaizers, given that these guys seemed to be prevalent in Jerusalem itself. And so the leaders of the Jerusalem church, men such as James and Peter, they sit down with Paul and Barnabas, and together they declared and they wrote a letter, not the letter of Galatians, but a different letter. They wrote a letter to the Gentile churches that stated that they should not listen to these Judaizers, but that Paul and Barnabas' message of salvation through faith in Christ alone is the gospel truth. And you know what? That was great news for the Galatians. That was great news. Now, having written that letter, Paul and Barnabas, along with Peter, they head to Antioch, where leaders of the Galatian churches would meet them with bated breath and great anticipation to hear what the Jerusalem church had declared. And with great joy, Paul reads this letter aloud to them. And there's this huge celebration. And that's where we're at in Galatians 2, this celebration. How many people like Asterix and Obelix? I grew up with Asterix and Obelix. I love it. Don't you love the very last picture where there's this big village having a party and there's roast pork and stuff everywhere? That's what we're seeing here in Galatians 2, that kind of celebration. It was a massive celebration. But, you know, something happened which meant that Paul had to have a confrontation with Peter during this celebration. And listen, Paul didn't just go along and politely tap Peter on the shoulder and he just motioned him silently to a side room for a private, quiet chat. Oh, no way. Paul, he gets in Peter's face for all to see. That'd be like me going down to Harvey here and looking straight at him and maybe he'll tear strips off me. I don't know. That's what it would have been like, okay? Right there in front of everybody. He had a point to make publicly. And we sort of asked the question, why? What's going on? Well, reading on, this is what we see. Because he, that is Peter, stood condemned. Mate, what is it that Peter did that was so wrong and demanded such a public rebuke? What did he do? What did he do? What were his actions that saw him condemned on the spot? And by the way, Paul did this not only for the Galatians' sake, he actually did this for Peter's sake too. You see, Peter stood condemned and he needed to be freed. He needed to be released. You know, last week, Matt preached about how we each individually are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but also how we collectively as a whole are also the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the passages he quoted was 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 17. And Paul says there, he says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple." Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 3 should be a very somber warning to those Christians who are going around the place at the moment, joining some demolition crew that is causing so much destruction in the church today through partiality. Be warned. Peter stood condemned in Galatians 2 because he was guilty of taking a sledgehammer to God's temple in Antioch. He may not have meant to be purposefully demolishing it, but in his actions, he was being a human wrecking ball. This man who declared, as I read earlier in Acts chapter 10, and it also he decreed in Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council that God shows no partiality, and who would write around about 15 to 20 years later that God judges impartially, which is good news actually because it indicates here that he at least learnt the lesson and the message got through to him. But this man, he was in fact himself guilty of being partial here in Galatians chapter 2. And it all had to do with 2,000 years of Jewish history and religious law established by God for Israel, but fulfilled through Jesus Christ once and for all upon the cross, meaning that men, women, and children like you and I no longer are bound by those laws in order to show our love for God and to be accepted by Him. We don't have to do that. Praise God, eh? But that wasn't easy for the Jewish believer to get their head around. You can understand that this is thousands of years of history ingrained into the Jew. So it isn't something easy for them to just let go of overnight. They had thousands of years of being God's chosen people under their belt. And suddenly these Gentiles are being included in God's family simply through faith in Jesus, without so much as a simple acknowledgement of Israel's traditions. They're just included because you know, God loves them and God forgave them and Jesus saved them. That's it. And it is this clash over love for Christ's grace but the zeal for sacred traditions that saw Peter flounder and mess things up. So in the time we've got left today, I want to look at what we are really dealing with when we talk about partiality during these days of COVID and mandates. I want us to see how we can be immune, how we can be vaccinated from partiality. The first thing we've got to deal with is fear. We've got to deal with fear. Look at verse 12. For before certain men came from James, he, that is Peter, was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. What's Peter's issue? Fear. And so the scene is set. This is why Paul had to get stuck into Peter. And Peter is up in Antioch and Paul and Barnabas are there with him and they're together with these Galatian believers. They're having a great time together when all of a sudden some Judaizers come from James's church in Jerusalem. Now, they weren't sent from James as such to carry out any specific agenda for him. They just happened to come from James's church in Jerusalem. And Peter's kicking back with these Gentiles, and we're told that he was eating with them. Hey, this is not a minor detail here. You see, part of the old religious law, which I mentioned earlier, meant that the Jews were not allowed to eat certain things, okay? Pork and shellfish being among them. However, the Galatians, you know, they would have enjoyed eating these things every day of the week. Yet we've got Peter, this Jewish Christian, eating with the Galatians. And I can picture that pig slowly turning on the spit and the crayfish are being chucked on the barbecue. Everything's going well. The Galatians have embraced Peter. Peter has embraced the Galatians the way it should be. But then the Judaizers land on the scene. And notice what Paul calls them in verse 12, the circumcision party. We've got an upcoming election this year. I wonder what their policies will be. I wonder how many votes they'll get. Hey, this is also a big deal, by the way. This is a big deal. See, Jewish law meant human circumcision was something that God had asked of Israel. But the Galatians, they never had such a law or practice. This wasn't part of their deal. And so we get the strong sense here what these blokes coming from Jerusalem were really all about. They had an agenda. And it was an uncomfortable, unwelcome one at that. They wanted to see these Galatian believers go through the same physical observances that Jews have been doing for two millennia. And so when these fellows rock up at the party, what does Peter do? Suddenly he drifts off. He starts hanging around with the Jewish blokes. And the message that this gave to the Galatians would have been fourfold. One, you blokes aren't as good as my fellow Jews are. Two, you fellas really shouldn't be eating the stuff that you eat. Three, you guys haven't been circumcised yet, which means, fourthly, your salvation and your faith is inferior to ours. It's incomplete. It's insecure. You just haven't quite reached the same standard as us in God's books right now. I don't mind hanging out with you, but I really belong to these blokes. The circumcision party, they've got my vote. What was wrong with the man? What was he thinking? Why did he do this? One word in verse 12, fear. He feared the Jewish mafia mob. He feared their law. He feared their expectations. He feared them and their number and their power and their history. And so he took his eyes off of the grace that was offered through Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, and he bowed instead to the law demanded by Jewish men. That is what fear does. And does it make us bow to Mark McGowan? Does it make us bow to conspiracy theories? No. Worse than that, fear makes us bow to partiality because you fear mandates or conspiracies more than you have faith in God's promises to hold us securely through all this stuff. We fear those things which we don't understand or we don't like. And so on that basis, we actually segregate ourselves from each other in our hearts. And sadly, we are seeing that in the church today. We're seeing it. Fear is one of those issues we need to face up to when it comes to partiality. What do you fear today? Do you fear the government? Do you fear the vaccination? Do you fear the virus which we're just about to let through the borders? Do you fear losing your salvation because some clown told you that the vaccine injects the devil into you? Do you fear losing your finances if you don't take it because you're going to lose your job? Do you fear losing your health by taking it because you just don't know? All of that is fear overriding faith in our loving, sovereign Saviour. A faith that should unite us. Paul shows the second point of concern in today's verses, and that is fallacy or falsehood. Look from verse 13. Paul says this, "And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But," and he goes on, he says, "I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel." We see fallacy appear twice in these verses. Firstly, it appears as hypocrisy. And in actual fact, verse 14 will go on and define hypocrisy for us. Peter is okay for him and any believing Jew present to join in with the Galatians before the Jewish circumcision party came. But when they crashed the party, Peter suddenly backflipped. Instead, Peter swung back to Judaism. That is hypocrisy. It's a double standard. And not to be overlooked in verse 13 is the fact that hypocrisy is contagious. Hypocrisy is contagious. Peter acted hypocritically. The Jewish believers from Antioch joined him. And what was a real kick in the guts for Paul and the Galatians was that Barnabas also jumped on board with Peter. You see, Barnabas, he's Paul's sidekick when they first took the message of Jesus Christ to these Galatians for the very first time. Together they preached Christ and God's forgiveness and grace to these peoples who had never heard the message of God. But now Barnabas appeared to be backflipping. Hypocrisy is a powerfully negative witness and influence to the gospel of Christ. We can get swept up in it all so easily, far too easily. But fallacy also reveals itself here through crooked conduct. Now, the picture we have here in verse 14 is that of Scripture being the straight line Okay, but Peter, he's been caught up walking away from it. He's straying away from that straight line. Now, there's a Greek prefix that's used here in this verse, and it is the prefix ortho, as in orthodox, orthopedic, orthodontist, someone who straightens out, crooked teeth, right? And so we see this crooked conduct. Paul had to pull Peter up, confront him, and straighten him out because Peter was leading others away in a line that was not in line with the gospel of Christ and God's grace. There is a truth of the gospel, but Peter had fallen in step with the fallacy. The problem with so much of what we hear today, in these days, surrounding COVID, possibly on both sides, I must be fair, you've got to say, is that it is often a fallacy which can so often cause each of us to be out of step with the truth of the gospel. We get derailed. People are so consumed with it. It's like if only they were so as consumed with the gospel of Christ, boy, it'd be amazing. It takes our focus off of the truth of Christ and his hope for our lives, and we find ourselves falling into various camps instead of being people of his church and his truth. Too many of us react out of line with gospel truth in our response to the situation and toward each other. So what do we see? Partiality that actually spreads. Let's not be carried along or led astray in hypocrisy. Let's not be out of step with the truth of the gospel. While Christ and his truth will unite his people, fallacy will breed partiality. So if you are caught up in something that is dividing you from God's people today or dividing God's people full stop, then stop and ask yourself whether what you're caught up in is the truth of Christ's gospel, whether your response is in line with the truth of Christ's gospel. Fear and fallacy, they will drive a wedge of partiality and prejudice between people every time. But we need to address a third matter concerning partiality in our society, and that is force. Now, I think the common phrase used these days is coercion. But can I just say here that while Paul tips Peter off for forcing one group of people to conform wrongly to another group, forcing something that's even true and correct upon someone, will also drive a wedge of division and partiality. No one likes to be forced into anything. Even God's word and truth should not be forced by you or I in some manner to get people to obey it. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Not for you or I. Let the Holy Spirit convict or convince a person in their heart, but may we never force or coerce someone into our ideals. Did you get that? I'll say it again. Let the Holy Spirit convict or convince a person in their heart, but may we never force or coerce someone into our ideals. And that, I've got to say, that while they may look different to each other, coercion comes from both sides of the debate today. You better believe it. In the latter part of verse 14, we see Paul speak up in front of everyone saying to Peter, he says, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? This is that definition of hypocrisy which I mentioned earlier. Basically, Paul's saying, Pete, you're a Jew, but because Christ called you and saved you, and you know that you no longer have to live by those old Jewish laws and customs, you know, you're free to live like a Galatian. You know that, and you do. You enjoy living like them. You're happy to eat with them whenever you like. So why is it now that you're trying through your actions to force them to start living like these Judaizers who have just landed on our doorstep? Now, Peter wasn't really trying to force the Galatians into anything on purpose, but his actions, his false actions, were heavily suggesting to them that they needed to get on board this other train. This partiality that had snuck up and took hold of him meant that he was forcing, he was manipulating, he was communicating to them that they were below par. At the very least, that was the message that they were hearing. I'm seeing a lot of forceful messages going back and forth in these days that we're living in. They not only create further partiality, but they are evidence of it too. And I wonder if in our passionate convictions and activist causes, I wonder if we are forcing or trying to force others one way or the other, and in turn, unintentionally drive a wedge between fellow brothers and sisters in the family of God. Are you demanding? Are you forcing an issue? Are you manipulating? Are you passive-aggressive in how you deal with others? Do you use force? There is a wedge there which you are hammering in further, and you will create further widening partiality. And it's wrong. And so if fear, fallacy, and force are all signs of partiality, friends, what is the key? What is the secret for overcoming all these things and in tearing down the wall of partiality between each other? Faith. We're talking of our faith in Jesus Christ. And to cut to the chase here, I want to simply paraphrase what verses 15 to 16 says. So this is what Paul is saying to Peter here. Just paraphrase. Pete, you and I are Jews by birth. We're not Galatians who are brand new to the things of God. And yet as Jewish Christians, we know that we become right with God not by doing a whole heap of religious works and actions, but by simply having our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we've believed in him so that we might be accepted by God because of our faith in Christ and not because of a whole heap of extra good works. Because let's face it, no one will ever be saved by ticking off a list of good works. We would never be able to do enough to earn God's salvation. And so you and I have got to be right with each other because of our faith in Christ, not by anything else. Faith, faith, faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That is the greatest vaccine to partiality. That is what makes us right and acceptable in God's eyes, the only eyes that truly matter. It's not whether you're rich or poor. It's not whether you're this race or that. It's not whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed. If they are the markers that we are putting up before ourselves and each other, then we are trying to override faith. And instead, we are driving a wedge of partiality that will split and divide, something born out of fear, fallacy, and force. So do you need to just quit spreading that stuff today? Turn it down a bit, or maybe turn it off completely, and focus on yours and each other's faith in Christ. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to ask God for his forgiveness in this area today. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness from those around you today because you have made a major issue out of a minor detail when it comes to being a part of the family of God. We are seeing partiality lived out before our eyes in our society. You know, if you've got the right stuff on your phone, you can enter. You can order a coffee. You can sit back and enjoy the show. If you've got the right stuff, you can keep your job. If not, you can't. You know what? We all feel that. It's all around us. We feel for those who just cannot enjoy simple things which we took for granted for so long. I feel for it. I do. It saddens us. But if you think the partiality is all one way, that it's just the unvaxxed that cop it, then you're kidding yourself. Let me tell you now, that partiality, that ugly prejudice exists in both camps. Sadly, I've heard it said by Christians, two other Christians. I've heard it said, if you've been jabbed, you're going to be dead in a couple of years. Now, there's no compassion in that either. I heard it said by Christians to other Christians, hey, if you've been jabbed, you're ignorant, you're blind, you're stupid, you're weak, you're compliant. Man, if you're thinking that, how dare you say, you've got to repent of that. Because how dare you say that of anyone who has prayerfully journeyed with God through this process and they've got a clear conscience, whether they've taken the jab or not, if they've prayerfully considered that, you can't say that about them if they're obeying God in their heart. I've heard it said by Christians to other Christians, if you've been jabbed, then you're tainted, you're impure, you're unclean. Man, if you're thinking that, you need to repent of that because nobody made you God. I've heard it said by Christians to other Christians, if you've been jabbed, you did it for worldly gain only or out of fear. Well, let me tell you something. I know plenty of Christians who've done it for the love of their neighbour. To be able to have go and minister in places that they wouldn't be able to if they refused the vax. And to assume that the people have taken the vax for one reason or another is to categorise, and that's partiality. It goes both ways. I've heard vaccinated people rip into unvaccinated people too in a lot of those areas. Now, we all know the diplomatic tensions between Australia and China at the moment. But you know what? It took a couple of former freestyle ski opponents at the Beijing Winter Olympics recently to just for a while tear down the wall of partiality. So former gold medalist and Australian world champ Lydia Lasilla, however you say her name, she's covering these events for Channel 7 as a commentator. And she conducted this heartwarming interview as her former opponent and in the sport and yet good friend, Chinese skier Zhu Mengtao, won this year's event. And I don't know, did anyone see this interview? She went along and it was wonderful to see. They grabbed each other and they laughed and they hugged and they cried tears of joy with each other. It was amazing. And they just recapped the 20 years of competing against each other in this interview and also how they supported one another through injuries and things like that. It was incredible to watch. It was beautiful. And it's just for a moment, diplomatic tensions were torn down. If sports can achieve that much for just a couple of minutes, how much more is our faith in Christ able to accomplish amongst his followers? A wall of partiality that we are putting up has to come down. Whatever happened to loving unity in Christ? How can a needle get between us? The wall of partiality has been built on the premise and the foundation of COVID and mandates from both sides. And I wonder if today God is telling you to stop adding to it and instead begin to tear this thing down, beginning in your own heart. Do you need to turn away from the sin of partiality today and instead turn your eyes back to Jesus? It's time to replace fear with faith, fallacy with faith, force with faith. Rise above it. Come on and rise above it. Let's pray. Lord, we're living in times where there's a lot of uneasiness, there's a lot of angst between people, a lot of confusion. Lord, there's a lot of ill feeling and emotion that comes into a lot of stuff that's going on in our world today and in our own state with rules and regulations and all the rest of it. Lord, none of this has taken you by surprise. You are God. You're sovereign. Lord, you're in control, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, help us to place our faith in you. You above all things. Help us to have faith in you in the directions that we take. But, Lord, help us in our faith to grow closer to you in these uncertain times. And as a result, Lord, may our closeness towards one another be nurtured as well. Lord, help us to have compassion in areas where we disagree in these right now over COVID and vaccines and mandates and all these things. Lord, help us to be a shining light as your people who stand together even though we may not agree. Lord, if we need to commit ourselves afresh to you and ask for your forgiveness, Lord, I pray that we would do that in our own hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.